We continue our series, Christmas at the Movies, and we are in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 45 this morning, and it is the story of the angel come to Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will have no end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word of God will ever fail." "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're doing this series, Christmas at the Movies, to give a fresh perspective on a timeless story and all the truths surrounding that. And I don't know if you're like me and enjoy Christmas movies with the family. For Savannah and I, it's always a special part of our Christmas season. Last week, we looked at Home Alone and discovered that we're not home alone, that God is with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And this morning, we're looking at the Polar Express. I think it's got some great truths for us this morning. I was born in Pennsylvania, raised in Pennsylvania, and there's even more trains in Pennsylvania than there is in Indiana. I know we have had some famous trains here with the Monon Line and everything. In fact, one of my fellow Pennsylvanians gave me a coffee cup with railroad on it. So the Pennsylvania Railroad, I got something in there this morning. It's not coffee, but we'll find out later. So I just love railroads. And of course, it's natural that I would love the Polar Express. And again, watched it with Savannah and I this week. And you may know the story. If not, then you should look at it. It's a wonderful children's story and movie, and I think also for adults. And so the story is this is this young boy, known as Hero, is really struggling with believing in Christmas and Santa Claus and all of this. And so he's actually studying it. He's looking up encyclopedias and doing some searches and wondering and struggling as he's growing older. And so the night before Christmas Eve, why he goes to bed. And in the middle of the night, this sound shakes the house. And he looks out, and there's this train coming through in the middle of the fog and stops right in front of his house. So he runs out and just can't believe it. And the conductor, of course, shouts, Tom Hanks playing all these great roles in that movie, and it says, "All aboard." And he just can't take that first step. And so the train starts to move, and then finally he decides he's going to jump on board. And I think that's the first thing for us in our own journey to Bethlehem is to trust. You know, he had to take that first step to trust that everything was okay with the train. He had to take that first step of trust to believe the conductor. And I think we wrestle in our own hearts and lives. And what about Mary? Mary, I mean, sometimes we as Protestants really underestimate and shortchange Mary as a great disciple and of the Lord, and as the mother of Jesus, the one and only, in this special moment. And she is such an example for us, and she was the mother of our Lord. And so in this moment, the angel Gabriel comes to her, and she's just a young teenager, we believe. And the angel tells her that she will conceive and the child will be special, Emmanuel, God with us. And Mary says, how can this be? Who wouldn't say that, right? How can this be? And the angel replies, you know, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And then the angel says the words, and there's different translations for it, but my favorite translation is, for nothing is impossible with God. Don't you love that? That is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. That's really the best translation, by the way. For nothing is impossible with God. Wow. And Mary says, and there's different translations for this, but I like the translation that says, let it be. The Beatles apparently did too. I mean, you know, was it John? Was it McCartney or was it Lennon? Or I don't know, but Mother Mary comes to me speaking words of wisdom, let it be. That's what Mary says. Let it be. Isn't that a lesson of trust for us? And what we're faced with is so much less than what Mary had to face, right? And so Mary had, of course, plainness to Joseph, and she was selected to raise the Son of Almighty God, the Most High, the second person of the Trinity, and she was able to say, let it be. So today, wherever you are on your journey of Bethlehem, what is God asking you to trust him for? The next step of belief, maybe a relationship that's not going as well as you'd like, or a healing in a relationship, or a physical healing, financial difficulties, struggling with the loss of a loved one. Oh my goodness, there's so many things, but faith isn't a magic wand, but faith, when we trust, makes everything different. And so the next thing is they go on a journey. Oh man, don't you like journeys for Christmas? Now, it is amazing because for my own life, I got to tell you, we always, in addition to decorating the Christmas tree, we go on these little trips for to look at the lights. I don't know if you do that too. Anyone go out and look at the lights? And so, yeah, it's always an adventure. Last year, I mean, we always go to Frankfurt. I was telling Savannah, I mean, why don't we kind of raise our game here in Lafayette, you know, and do a little better. Did a great Christmas parade. It's like, man, you know, do something with Columbia Park. We got a train over there, man. I'll drive it. I don't care if it's cold. But anyway, so we always go down to Frankfurt, and then last year we went up to Kokomo, and it was just, we just love sort of going away and listen to Christmas music, and we talk a little bit, and then on the way back, because, you know, with Christmas also comes reindeer and deer, and so I was saying, watch out for the deer, watch out for the deer, because we're in the middle of nowhere, you know, Kokomo to here, and we're saying, watch out for the deer. And by gosh, if one didn't jump out in front of us, that made that little journey adventurous. But anyway, we were fine. It was okay. But for the Polar Express, of course, they're on this journey. They're on this trip to the North Pole on this Christmas train. And there's all kinds of amazing adventures. And there's other kids there, too. And so there's Hero Girl, which is great, and she's got a lot of wisdom. She's definitely a leader and a person with some courage, and but she loses her ticket, and so Hero Boy's trying to find that ticket. And then there's the know-it-all kid, remember? Don't you know a few know-it-all kids? And then there is Billy, who's sort of the lonely boy. He needs friends. And so they're taking this trip together with other kids on the way to the North Pole. They're all kind of, man, you know, this is magical. This is hard to believe. But they're on this trip, and they're racing for the ticket to find for this girl. And the conductor sort of started punching the tickets, you know, for each one has a little something, but didn't complete it out. So they're on this journey, and there's all kinds of things. He goes up looking for this ticket on top of the train, which is amazing, down this mountain, and then, you know, over the tunnel, and meets all kinds of crazy adventures. But it's amazing on this journey, and as he's doing that, you know, he's sort of going through this journey of faith, I would say, right? And then for Mary, of course, Mary goes on a journey, doesn't she? She doesn't see Joseph. First thing, she goes to Elizabeth, right? Her cousin or aunt, we're not sure which it is, but we know it's a relative who's 6 months down the road, pregnancy. And maybe for her, it's a time, a woman-to-woman moment, right? And they both have miracles within them, different kinds of miracles. Elizabeth was older, beyond the years of childbearing, but God had visited her with an angel. And Mary isn't sure about all that, but she wants to discover that. And of course, Mary, a profounder yet miracle, and Elizabeth's baby would be John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner of Christ. For Mary, Christ himself, Emmanuel, God with us. And so Mary goes on this journey to see Elizabeth, and when she does, amazing things happen. And in fact, when Mary walks through the door, indeed, the baby within Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy, kind of in this moment with the Holy Spirit, and she shares that with Mary, and so they have this moment. And for us, the question I think for all of us is, on this journey to Bethlehem, you know, which we know, it's so familiar, the passages are so familiar, the story is so familiar, but are you really trusting? Are you really journeying? Are you really going to experience Christ anew this Christmas and to make this Christmas not just more special in terms of dinner and family and all that? Those things are important, but your faith in Christ. And so there is the trust step, and then there is the journey, and then there's the gift, right? And we all love gifts for Christmas. And for the Polar Express, do you remember? They go on this adventure, and they were visit the elf shop and all this and just barely make it in this balloon. There's all kinds of craziness, but then they land in the midst of Santa's big, huge bundle, and then they're waiting with great anticipation for who gets the first gift. That's like a really special deal for the Polar Express, and of course, all the kids want it, and no one more than Hero Boy, this young boy. And in the midst of all the commotion, one of the bells from the reindeer, from the, you know, harness for the reindeer, sort of flies to the air, and the little boy grabs it, and, you know, he shakes it, and at first it doesn't ring, but then he keeps doing it, and it rings, and then Santa comes to him and sort of takes that bell and thanks him for it, and then he says, who's going to get the first present? And he looks at this boy and asks him, and the boy whispers something to Santa, but we all kind of know what that is. And so Santa gives him his wish for the first present, which is this bell. And the bell only rings for those who believe. And so he rings the bell. And wouldn't you know, I've got one here. And it's a great gift, isn't it? And for him, it's sort of the magic of Christmas. And so Santa tells him to put it safely in his pocket. And then what is the gift for Mary and for Elizabeth? Well, for Mary, it should be obvious. She's got Christ within her. She's carrying Christ into the world. And you and I can never be Mary in one sense. But in another sense, you and I, every day, are given the privilege of carrying Christ into our world. And when we do that, amazing things can happen, not because of us, although we take a step of faith, but because of Christ that we're carrying within us. In a very real respect, Luke is highlighting Mary in this moment. And so Mary walks into the house, and her presence to Elizabeth, of course, is a gift, because Christ is present with her, the baby within Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, who it will become, is leaps for joy. And in that moment, I can't help but imagine Elizabeth had a gift for Mary. And I think that gift was wisdom. And Elizabeth was 6 months down the road and how many decades older. I think she offered Mary some wisdom. And for Mary, the gift for Elizabeth, in addition to, of course, the presence of Christ himself, I think was this sort of youthful enthusiasm, right? This new joy that only kind of this young person can bring. And I think in our own lives, we need both aspects in our life, don't we? We need the wisdom. So, you know, if you're an older person, you know, it's hard to be a young person, but you have wisdom that is amazing, and through your faith and through your life experience. And for younger people, you have a joy, you have an enthusiasm that no one else can quite capture. And when we bring it all together, it's amazing. But the most important gift, of course, is Christ that we carry into the world with us. And so today, what is the gift? And God also gives each of us a different gift. Doesn't God do that for us, right? And so where are you in your gift this Christmas? Not just the gift-buying list that Tamara had, that was so nice there, all the things that have to happen, but what about the gifts and talents that God has given you to share with your church family, with the community, and the global community of faith? We all are individually created by God with our own gifts and talents, and when we come together with our gifts like that and share them, then amazing things can happen. Well, the final thing, so we've got trust, we got journey, we got gift, and the final thing is to believe. And as all the kids are excited and they're getting back on the train to go back home for Christmas morning, still in the middle of the night, why the conductor is taking Easter tickets, and he's using his magic puncher, and he's punching gifts for them, right? Something special about them. And so for Hero Girl, he types in their lead, and he says, "You're a great woman. You'll be a great woman of leadership, and you've got great decision-making," and he's got that promise of her gift, but she has to believe that. And for the little boy who struggles with friendship and lives alone in another part of town, why, you know, he's types some, punches some things in there, and it's depend on and rely on, and it keeps changing things. All the great qualities of having great friends and also being a great friend. And so if he does that and he expresses those gifts, then he will discover friends, right? And of course, for the know-it-all boy, he types in there learn, right? You don't know it all, keep learning, right? So, but what does he type for Hero Boy? He types out believe and hands him the ticket. And man, what a message for all of us, isn't it? Believe. That's what we need for Christmas. And when we believe, amazing things happen. And so where are you on your journey of belief? Has Christmas just become sort of faded through the years? Is Christmas fresh and exciting as we journey to God's greatest gift ever to us that can transform our lives? And by the blessing we take into our world, even as Elizabeth did, we can help transform the world if only we believe. Well, the train takes off and travels back, and they all get off their homes. But as they get on the train, it begins to move. Why, everybody wants to see the bell. Do you remember that moment? And Hero Boy puts his hand in his pajamas, and there's a hole, and the bell has fallen out. And he is so discouraged in that moment. Oh, man, and all the kids are trying to console him. Of course, it's too late to go back. Santa's already left, and he just doesn't know what to do. And so he gets off the train at his house with sort of mixed feelings. He's got new friends, and he's got a lot of promise, but he's still struggling. And then Christmas morning, he gets up, and he sees a special present from Santa. His parents don't know what that is, and he opens it up. And what is it? It's the bell, right? And he's so thrilled that the bell is there, that Santa remembered it, and it didn't matter about the hole, the imperfections in his life, that there was still something there if he believed. Now, he shook it, and remember, could the parents hear it? No, the parents couldn't hear it. Why? They didn't believe. And at first, Sarah's sister, she couldn't hear it either, but then she could hear it. And then he could hear it, and he realized, and then there's this great kind of closing line, which is this, you know, through the years, one by one, my friends weren't able to hear the bell. But as for me, the bell still rings. And I think that's an important truth for us to ask ourselves this morning. As we gather around the Lord's table, as we journey to Bethlehem, does the bell still ring for you? Because it isn't anyone else's responsibility. Your own spiritual life, your own journey to Bethlehem is no one's responsibility but yours. It's your responsibility to open your heart and life to Christ. It's your responsibility to be willing to take that journey of trust and wherever it's going to take you, and to discover the gifts within you that God has given you. The greatest gift, of course, is Christ, but also the gifts and talents that God has given you to grow and to develop and to share with others, and then just to believe, because that can change everything. Today, as God whispers to you to trust, even as God did to Mary, maybe you could realize again and hear those words, "For nothing is impossible with God." What seems impossible to you this morning, that God needs to whisper and say, "Nothing is impossible with God." And you can say back, "Let it be." And then to go on that journey to Bethlehem, a journey of faith, and then to realize the gift of Christ within you, and the gift that we carry into the world, which is Christ, and the gifts that God has given us to share. But the key, friends, is to believe. And if there's one verse that sort of brings it all together, it's John 3:16, isn't it? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life." It may be old, but it still rings true. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about our own journey to Bethlehem, the journey to Christmas, wherever we are in our life, Lord, help us to search our hearts and to journey with you, to push aside some of the busyness of life and to find the peace that only you can bring, which is found in a babe in Bethlehem. Emmanuel, God with us to share our struggles, our challenges, our hurts, and to bring us hope and peace and love and joy that only you can bring. So today, help us to believe. And all God's people said, amen.